O Lord our God, we do pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray that the Holy Spirit may open our eyes that we may see wonderful things out of your word. Give us light and lighten our understanding that we may know something more of the hope of your calling us to be your children, and that we may know and feel something more of that wonderful and glorious inheritance you have prepared for your people, for those who believe in Christ. Oh, what a wonderful heritage you have given us. May we by faith enter into the enjoyment and delight of our heritage, our inheritance in heaven above, which we can enjoy even now. Bless us, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us turn back to Genesis chapter 26. Let me read to you again the first five verses. There was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. And to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I'll perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Well, tonight we shall consider the life of Isaac. When we were studying Abraham, whenever we think of Abraham, we think of his seed, his son Isaac. We remember it was Abraham's lifelong struggle of faith to have that promised seed, Isaac. So whenever we think of Abraham, we think of Isaac. And now when we consider Isaac, we are led to think back to his father, Abraham. Because in the Isaac narrative, we see that whatever Isaac did, he was just following his father, Abraham. He was following his father, Abraham, in adversity and prosperity, in his conflict as well. He was consciously following his father, Abraham. Like father, like son. And the son was consciously endeavoring to be like father. Now you understand, Isaac have a great father. Except Abraham was so great. Otherwise, we would think of Isaac as a great man of faith. But Abraham really was such a great character, such a great man of faith. His faith was tremendous. Consider, he was almost a lone believer in his days. And the things he had gone through, the struggles to have that seed. And you notice, Isaac had a very protective mother. Sarah too was quite a character, a most wonderful and submissive wife. most of the time. And notice Isaac had a most capable wife in the person of Rebecca. Rebecca was not only beautiful, but she was energetic, she was resourceful, she too was quite a character. I dare not to say that Rebecca was an aggressive wife, right? That would not be fair to her, but Rebecca was also a great woman in every sense of the word. So Isaac seems to be overshadowed. But if you've got a chance to ask Isaac, well, do you feel overshadowed? Do you feel unhappy with that your father shines so brightly, and your mother as well, and your wife? He would say to us, I'm very happy with that. Isaac did not want to shine. Isaac received everything and enjoy everything. Isaac was a happy man. He was the heir of the Abrahamic covenant. He received joyfully the promise of God to Abraham, the blessing of God to Abraham. He received as an inheritance, and he enjoyed everything. He was a happy man. Remember his name? In the original Hebrew means what? Isaac. Laughter. Laughter. And we're going to have some laugh tonight to cheer up. And you remember Abraham and Sarah laughed at the news of the conception and the birth of Isaac. By the way, that's the first time in the Bible that the Bible mentions this word laugh. The first time the Bible mentioned laughed, it was in relation to Isaac. I don't remember that the Bible mentioned laughed a lot of times, but Isaac was a happy man. So tonight, we're going to look at this in a little bit more details in Genesis chapter 26. Like father, like son. Adversity. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Famine. This word does not register in our mind. It doesn't find an echo from our hearts, except when we go to the supermarket, trying to buy some meat, rice, not to mention toilet paper, and then we discover all the shelves are empty. Stephen told me that this afternoon people were rushing to the supermarket. People were driving their car to get whatever is left there. But still, we are not in a famine. Way, way away from a famine. Thanks be to the Lord. But a famine. Famine. There was a famine in the days of Isaac, as it was in the days of Abraham, like father, like son. And Isaac wants to go down to Egypt. Why? Abraham did that in a famine. Remember Abraham? In a time of famine, he went down into Egypt, and that episode of Abraham telling a lie about his wife and calling his wife his sister. But the Lord appeared to him in verse 2, we're told, do not go down to Egypt, live in the land of which I shall tell you. It's interesting, isn't it? Isaac's instinct was to go down to Egypt. Father did that, I'm going to do that. And many years later, Isaac's own son Jacob would go down to Egypt in a time of famine. And God said to Jacob, go. But to Isaac, God says, here, don't go. And to Abraham, God let him go. God didn't say anything except we notice there was no worship when Abraham was going down to Egypt and was there. You understand the characters of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were different. They were different men, different characters. Even though the circumstance seemed to be so similar, famine. By the time Jacob went down to Egypt, he was a well-tried, rock-solid believer. Jacob was born a crook, but he became a prince with God. He was ready for anything. Nothing could shake him. The Lord said, go to Egypt. But to Isaac, God says to him, live here. Live in the promised land, verse 3, I'll be with you and bless you, and to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. I will make your descendants multiply the stars of heaven. I will give your descendants all these lands. And notice in verse 3, and in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. What is this? But the Abrahamic covenant repeated to Isaac. God is here saying to Isaac, you are going to inherit my covenant with Abraham. My promise to Abraham, the blessing of Abraham is upon you. Here the Lord God confirmed his covenant with Isaac. The Lord God declared to Isaac in so many words, almost in exact terminology, as he did when he first revealed himself to Abraham. Now, of course, Isaac knew that already. Since the days of his youth, mom and dad would tell him, you know, you are going to inherit the Abrahamic promise and covenant. You are the miracle child. We guess Sarah and Abraham would teach Isaac how to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, and when he came to 90, mother would say to him, you know, mother was 90 years old when I gave birth to you. And Abraham would go on, 91, 92, and so on. 100, oh, big figure. Well, dad was 100 years old. And my dear child, you are going to receive the promise God made with me. You are to carry on the faith in the living and true God. There's only one God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. The Lord God appeared to me and called me, and the Lord God promised he's going to bless all the nations. I don't know how many nations there are on earth, but the Lord God is going to bless the whole earth through me and through you, and you must carry on his faith. You must be blameless. The God whom we believe in and who has revealed to us is holy. You must not follow the cultures and the people around you. Carry on this faith. You are to inherit this. Isaac knew that. Almost as second nature. But now, in a time of crisis, remember, friend, my dear friend, it's a crisis, isn't it? You die without food. That's serious. Now in a time of crisis, the Lord God graciously comfort Isaac, reassure him, you will indeed inherit the Abrahamic covenant. Isaac, you are my child. My covenant is with you. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. You are mine. Oh friends, this is how the Lord God comforts his people in a time of need. In days of prosperity, we who believe in Christ, we sing, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee is praised shall sing." We sing that. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And in times of trouble and need, maybe we stumble over, maybe we're in great trouble, maybe we're in sorrow, the Lord comes to us and says, "My dear child, you are mine. You have indeed been ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven." Me? Yes? You? Have you not been singing that? Yes? You are my child. And in Christ, you are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. You are saved in time and to all eternities. Yes, you are forgiven. You are mine. That's what God did with Isaac. So he joined the land of Philistines. And you notice what he did. He lied about his wife, just as his father Abraham did. Well, parents here, if you were Abraham and Isaac, if you were Abraham and Sarah, would you tell your children or your son what Abraham did? I don't know. It'd be interesting, isn't it? Would you parents tell your children honestly some of your darkest moments and your greatest sins? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But they certainly had told him about that. Undoubtedly, he knew. Was he consciously copying father, imitating father? Well, perhaps not. But somehow, he got the DNA of Abraham. And the same fear. As he told people, when people asked him about his beautiful wife, he said, "Oh, she's my sister." And she was afraid to say, "She's my wife," because she thought the people there would kill him and violate Rebecca. Rebecca was just such a beautiful woman. Beautiful to behold. Now we need to be fair to Abraham and Isaac. They were surrounded by people who were very immoral and violent. That was the surrounding culture. It was a real threat. People were quite ready to kill the man and violate the wife. It was the culture. So the fear was legitimate. But then, of course, the lie was not right. But sadly, Isaac here is repeating the sin of his father. And friends, sometimes we see our sins repeated in our children's lives. Is it not so? I say sometimes children inherit some of the sinful tendencies of their parents. You go around and observe. It's not unusual at all. There are some witnesses of the parents were passed on to children and even to children's children. It doesn't happen always, but it happens not infrequently. And dear friends, when we see our sins repeated in our children's life, It's time for us to humble ourselves before the Lord and beg God's mercy for ourselves and our children. We have to cry out of David in Psalm 25. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. I remember a Christian friend of mine. In the days of his youth, he got a drinking problem. And when his son became a teenager, the son got a drinking problem. And that man was mad with his son. He disciplined his son too severely. I was going to say to that man, have you no guilt? Don't you remember what you did? Why don't you humble yourself before the Lord and speak tenderly to your son? And like his father Abraham, Isaac's lie was discovered. The New King James here says, the king of the Philistine saw Isaac showing endearment to his wife Rebecca. It's very interesting that in the Hebrew language, the word is Isaac was loving with Rebecca. Abimelech saw Isaac loving with his wife. Well, you got the idea, we don't need to be too explicit. They were showing affections and endearments as belonging exclusively to husband and wife. Laughing. He was discovered, and like his father, he was rebuked by an unbeliever. And like his father, he made the same excuse. Well, it's because you people are like this that I have to tell this lie that Rebecca is my sister. This wife-sister lie is repeated, the excuse repeated, and this is Abraham 2.0. It's nothing to do with the sermon, but I just come across this article by a professor of microbiology in the Hong Kong University. He has retracted his article, but it was so honest. He was saying that the Chinese people stop eating those wildlife. This is SARS 2.0. Stop this bad practice. Otherwise, in 10 years' time, we're going to get SARS 3.0. Well, back to Isaac. Abraham 2.0. The wife's sister line 2.0. And like his father, Isaac and his wife were protected by God. It became prosperous, not because of his lie, but the Lord protected him. And then we notice, in days of prosperity and in conflict, Isaac also consciously followed father Abraham. In verse 18, Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistine had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. This is Isaac. My father dug those wells. After his death, I was too weak. The Philistines stopped the well, filled them with mud. And now I'm going to dig up those wells again, same wells. I'm going to call them by the same name as my father had called them. Like father, like sons, same wells, same names. Back to the old path, back to the old tried way of father. Isaac was no innovator, he was an inheritor. and happily so. One more. In verse 23, he went up from there to Beersheba. He went back to Beersheba, where his father Abraham once was. Abraham was there. He worshipped God and called the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. He went back there. And what happened? Verse 24. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So Isaac gave an order there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servant dug a well. Father worship him, I worship him. And the Lord God graciously gave him further assurance. I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. I'm the God of your father Abraham. Further assurance. Dear friends, this is how assurance works. The assurance of our standing with the Lord and our sense of belonging to God, that we are God's child, is not a once for all and never to be repeated experience. No, thank God. It can be repeated. Assurance can grow. The Lord comes to us and assures again and again, and we can enjoy the Lord more and more and more. This morning we were watching this documentary on the Puritans, and in a sense I sigh when look at how old J.I. Packer has become. Really frail. And Jeff Thomas, quite old as well. And even people like Sinclair Ferguson have got so much older. And there's a sadness, but there's also a joy to meet with aged saints, because they can tell us, the Lord has been with me, with us. And our sense of the love of God has only grown over the years. My dear friends, the only thing we need to take care of is to trust and obey, and the Lord God will take care to comfort us in the times of His choosing. It may be in an ordinary service like this. It may be while we're singing. While we're singing, we suddenly got this joy. Maybe in the times of need, maybe in the times of just, you know, you have a walk, and the Lord draw near to you, and you got a tremendous sense of His love and mercy. Wonderful. Assurance grows. It increases. Well, friends, since we've been looking at Isaac's sonship and inheritance, I want us to carry our thought forward to the new covenant realities. If you are still with me, you certainly are still with us, with me, I want to give you a question here. It's a multiple choice question. It reminds me of my days of youth, multiple choice. Okay, question. Who is or are the seed of Abraham? A. Isaac. B. Christ. C. Christians. You know, you're smiling. D. All of the above. What's the answer? Well, it's all the above, all of the above, isn't it? The seed of Abraham. Think of Isaac. Isaac is the physical seed of Abraham. It is his, in every sense, his son, as well as the spiritual seed of Abraham. Isaac inherited the Abrahamic covenant. The Lord God confirmed his promise, his blessing, his covenant with Isaac time and again. Isaac is the seed of Abraham. And then in Galatians 3:16. Now you know your John 3:16. Do you know your 1 John 3:16? Galatians 3:16. How about Colossians 3:16? Well, anyway, Galatians 3:16. There we are told Christ is the seed of Abraham. Listen, Paul says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate seed of Abraham. When God told Abraham, when God told Isaac, in your seed, singular, all the nations will be blessed, it's referring to Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is both the physical seed of Abraham, he's a descendant of Abraham, but he is also the ultimate seed of Abraham. He's the fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham. Now for you, Christian people, those who believe in Christ are also seed of Abraham. My dear friend, let me ask you, what happens when you believe in Jesus? What happened when you were baptized? Faith in Christ is not just an intellectual assent to the Bible teaching about who Jesus is. Oh yes, you say, well, I come to believe in God. I've been sharing the gospel with Chinese people for many years, and I find it very difficult to convince them that there's a God, there's a creator. The Chinese way seems to have these vowels called atheism. I'm quite serious now. Atheism is with a deep down in the Chinese culture and mentality and philosophy. Chinese people only care about money. You talk of money, they understand. You talk about God, they say, no. So it takes a long while to convince Chinese people that there's a greater God. You do that, and then you convince them that Jesus is the Son of God. You do that. You tell them about the resurrection, and so on. Many people jump to the conclusion, now I believe in the existence of God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm a Christian. No. You need to believe in God. You need to believe Jesus to be the Son of God and His resurrection and so on. But friends, when someone believes in Jesus, he's committing or she's committing their bodies and souls to Christ. And when we believe in Jesus, we become united to Christ. As John says in John 1 verse 12, as many as receive Him, when we believe in Jesus, we receive Christ. We receive the whole Christ. And we are given the right to become children of God. Now back to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. Paul says to Christian believers, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of God. Now this is not a matter of gender. It's a matter of inheritance. Because if someone is counted as a son, disregarding gender, he got the inheritance. And Paul is here saying to all believers, man and female, slave or free, rich or poor, well, by faith in Christ, you are sons of God. You receive the inheritance. Not too long ago, one of my aunts died and left a fortune behind. The son got everything. The daughter got nothing. But that's okay. That's how it works. That's okay. She was not upset. She's not upset. It's understood long ago. But Paul is here saying to all believers, man and female, slave or free, by faith in Christ, you have the inheritance. You are counted as sons, children of God. And in verse 29 of Galatians 3, Paul says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Explicitly so. Explicitly, we are told, if you believe in Christ, you become united to Christ. Christ is the seed of Abraham. He received the inheritance, all the inheritance. He's the heir of God. And because we belong to Christ, we believe in Christ, we become co-heirs with Christ, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And friends, this is not just me teaching. Let me finish off by just mentioning a few blessings or consequences of becoming co-heirs with Christ. What a comfort we have when we believe in Jesus. We become sons of God. We share Christ's inheritance. People may despise you. People may say you're poor, you don't have much education. No, that's fine. But you can say, as a believer, I am a child of God. I am a son of God. My earthly father has left me nothing, but that's okay. I got everything in Christ. What a comfort. What a comfort. And what confidence. Back to Galatians 3, verse 14. Paul says there, the blessing of Abraham come upon Gentiles in Christ Jesus, so that we believe in Christ but receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. By believing in Christ, we receive Christ. By receiving Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. That is the inheritance. That's the blessing of Abraham, with the Holy Spirit living in us. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Galatians 4:6. Paul says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. What confidence we have in Jesus. In any time, in times of weakness and distress and need, we can go to God and we say, Lord God Almighty, you are the creator of all things. You uphold all things. You're the God of providence. Nothing escapes your notice. And I come to you in tears, in distress, in fear, and I call you Abba, Father. My earthly father may not care about me. My earthly father may not be able to help me, but God, my God, you are my father. If that is so, we are called to be like our Father. Conformed. Like Father, like Son. Remember what Jesus says to his own disciples, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. My dear Christian friends, we are called to be like our Father in heaven. Is that too much for you? Are you going to say, oh no, that's too much? I can't be that holy. I can't be like God. God is perfect. Be ye perfect. Are you a believer in Christ? You say, yes. Have you received Christ? Yes. Have you got a spirit? Oh, yes. You're called to be as perfect as your Father in heaven. Like Isaac, consciously following his father Abraham. Except our Father in heaven has no flaw or fault at all. And friends, what if tonight you have to say, I don't know. I'm not sure whether I'm a child of God. I'm not sure whether I'm part of the seed of Abraham. What should I do? Let me tell you what you should do. Receive and enjoy. The first thing you have to do is to receive Christ. It must be in that order. There are many people who try to live the Christian life before they got Christ, and it ends up in disasters. Receive Christ, and then you shall enjoy. You know, friends, the Christian life is an Isaac life. It's a life of joy and peace. Let us learn to laugh with Isaac. To be like him. To receive the inheritance by faith. Shall we pray? Lord God, we give you praise and thanks for eyes has not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into our hearts the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We by nature do not know these things. The gospel, it's not a human invention. People did not dream up his covenant with Abraham and Isaac to be fulfilled in Christ. No, it is all of your grace. We pray that you may reveal these things to us by your Spirit in our hearts, that we all may truly know you and rejoice in the Lord. Bless us, we pray, the coming week. Help us to be your witnesses. In our weakness be our strength. In our fear be our courage. In our sadness be our joy. Oh, for Christ is all in him and with everything in Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.